NCT and I presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiva. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counselors with 5 children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we will be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
So today we're going to be talking about the role of the non-breastfeeding partner in a breastfeeding relationship. So we actually have a guest here today, and I'll hand over to Katie to do the introduction.
Today we are hosting our very first guest, and it just so happens to be my husband, Johnny. Johnny has been a breastfeeding partner for 9 years and has supported me relentlessly over each of our breastfeeding journeys. So we're quite excited to get a dad's point of view to learn what their breastfeeding journey was like and potentially what they would suggest to new dads, new partners in that role.
It's a topic that comes up quite a lot when we're talking to parents who are not quite breastfeeding. They're on their way to it, so they're sort of third trimester thinking about feeding. And one of the things that comes up a lot is about bonding, what the dad will do if he's not going to be breastfeed, if sorry, he would never be breastfeeding, but if he was, if he's not feeding the baby in some way. And it's quite hard to talk about it in a way that makes the man feel like he's going to be relevant in many ways, because when you're talking about breastfeeding and starting off breastfeeding, very often it's practical things to do with what's actually going to happen to the woman's body and how the baby is going to react and how you support the mom and the baby to breastfeed and, you know, just to get it started. So it is a concern for a lot of dads that they will be left out from the very, very beginning. So, you know, in terms of the first few days, what kind of things do you think are important for dads to know, Johnny?
Well, I think it's funny. It actually probably predates that. You know, the way I look at things is there's a parallel to be drawn, you know, between, you know, the birth, the labor and the birth, and the support that you can give at that point. The man is not going through it. You know, they're not physically going through it, but they can still be there to support. And I think the parallel is that the breastfeeding journey is very similar, and that the physical, the biological piece is something that, you know, is we sort of spectate, if that's a good way to describe it. And we just have to know what we can do to try to support the part our partner through that journey. You know, and everyone is very focused on the birth plan. I know a lot of people try to put together a birth plan and consider their options, but I think the post-birth plan, or in reality, you know, birth plan really follows through to post-birth and what the first few hours, what the first few days might look like. And I remember when our first child was born, I think we were quite well prepared for the birth, but yet there we were a few hours in, and the following morning, really kind of left wondering, how does this, what do we do now? But, you know, how does this work? And so there's a lot of focus put on up until that point of birth. But in reality, that bit's short. And then the follow on is kind of critical, because you can sometimes be left with this void where you don't really know what you should do, how you can approach the next, you know, those first few hours and first few days of a new baby, you know, and it's and what they need. And I think we've definitely learned a lot through the three pregnancies. And yeah, definitely a big factor, I think, to consider the whole journey, not just the up until the birth.
And so if you were face to face with, you know, a new dad, and you know how overwhelming that is, you know, and we're talking about those raw moments just after the birth, and, you know, your partners, you've maybe talked about the, your partners want to breastfeed, and you know, would you suggest that it's a good idea for dads and partners to understand how breastfeeding works, or do you feel as though, you know, there's something more tangible that you can be doing to stop a new dad feeling quite so helpless in those early days as mum's trying to, you know, get baby latched on? And
yeah, I think that, you know, you can prepare for a new baby, you can read, but I think there's a challenge around, you know, it's a chicken and an egg. If you don't know what support you need to give, you're just there. You know, you try to be there, you try to say the right things. But I think the advice that I would give would be understand your partner's desires on to breastfeed. And I think it would be important to, you know, be an advocate, be that what you can do as the partner who's not going through a lot of the physical challenges post-birth is you can be strong with you can reinforce the will of your partner to breastfeed, and that is not necessarily something your partner's always going to be able to do. So, you know, during those first few hours, those first few days, you want to support, you want to remove a lot of the challenges, you know, those barriers or hurdles that your partner has with all, you know, aspects, not just breastfeeding. But what you don't realize is, and the natural solution sometimes that presents itself is quite often, sure, I'll feed the baby, or let's, you know, don't put yourself under pressure, you know. And these are all very logical approaches, but the underlying issue is it's as much what can I do to support the desire, you know, the want of your partner to breastfeed, because giving them the support and working through all of these things is probably going to bring a better outcome than immediately offering up the, you know, this this quite very clear cut, you know, clinical kind of logic, which is, hey, the baby just needs fed, let's just feed the baby. You know, that doesn't really work, play out too well emotionally. You know, the baby gets fed, of course, but does it, you know, is it the support that your partner needs? If your partner's willing to try to breastfeed and work through that, I think they should be given the opportunity. And that's the difficult bit. You want to empower them to do it. And I think a lot of partners probably don't see how they can play a part in that. And the obvious ones are not necessarily the ones you should be choosing to suggest. I think if I could go back and, you know, tell myself how to support in the, you know, in certain occasions, it would be the language used. Because when you see your partner, sometimes post-birth, there's low points and it can be really, really low. So obviously you want to jump in and support. And that isn't always the way you think that you should be supporting them, like offering up, you know, feeding or formula, or, you know, that there may be a time and a place for that, but it may not be the first choice. More than likely, it's not.
I think it's interesting that you bring up about the birth being, you know, the first, well, the pregnancy as well, but the birth is really, you know, the pinnacle of being a bystander as the partner. Yeah. And, you know, during birth, there is nothing that you can do to take over. All you can do is to support and just to work through, you know, the plan that you've got. Hopefully things will work out for the best, and you're really just there to be the cheerleader and say, you're doing really well, keep going, this is happening, and you're doing just a wonderful job. And really, when you think about breastfeeding, it should really be quite similar, shouldn't it? In the way that you're there, you're the biggest supporter.
Yeah, and I think birth is not a helpless area for the partner, because there is things you can do, and I probably didn't realize, you know, the role that you can play in a birth, because it seems, relatively speaking, it seems minimal. You know, when you think about it, you know, you're just really kind of a spectator in most parts, in most aspects of it. And breastfeeding, to a certain extent, is similar, that, you know, the support that you're giving is like indirect. You know, it's, you can't birth the child for your partner, and you can't breastfeed the child for your partner. So you have to think about both in a very similar way. What can I do that will empower or allow my partner to achieve their, you know, desired outcomes? And birth, like birth plan, usually there's the preference, there's the backup plan, and then there's worst case scenario, and everyone kind of thinks, well, you know, baby's healthy, mom's healthy, sure, what more can you want? And you know, that part is still, you know, it's still overcome, you know, relatively speaking, within a short space of time. So, you know, the birth is going to, it can only last, you know, it can only last, you know, days at most, overall. So the experience that the you know, the couple or the partner and the mom has throughout that process, that's over with, and then you have to kind of hit the ground running. So it's as much, I think, considering how do we take this on, how do we take the preferred birth and run with it, how do we take challenging births and still run and make the most out of it. Because, you know, there's stories you hear about, usually the probably the lowest chance of successful breastfeeding is where there's been a challenging birth. The window to, let's say, to achieve a satisfactory period of breastfeeding, is so, it becomes even shorter, that, you know, the medical professionals are putting under pressure. And of course, the instinct is, let's just relieve the pressure, let's just take that pressure away. But that, again, isn't really going to play out well long term, or, you know, short, medium term, because short term, yeah, you know, you think, just do what's right, you know, do what's medically maybe minimal. But yeah, that the emotions doesn't come in, they don't come into it at all. And those are the ones, those are the things you have to live with. And I don't think people realize that.
If the birth maybe hasn't gone as expected, and so it's everyone's instinct to, well, let's, you know, mum needs a break, you know, it's fine, formula's okay. But if that woman has gone through her pregnancy, or maybe even toward the end of her pregnancy, thought, do you know what, I really want to breastfeed, and by offering that, you know, quite tangible solution in that initial period, which everyone will be like, it's fine, you know, you rest and baby's fine, that partner isn't, you know, ring fencing that mum and those and her desires and really advocating for her. You know, we often hear how it should be the mum that's taken care of, because the baby will be, you know, the baby's basic needs in most cases are always met. And but if that mum hasn't been heard, if her closest ally, if her partner, husband hasn't really processed and heard what she wants, then,
you know, they think that they're somehow, yeah, we're you know, take the pressure off, I think they're doing the right thing. But, you know, you might not have had the birth you want, but you could still win the breastfeeding journey, and
And that can counter.
And that's the bit you're probably going to live with longer. You know, it's, I think, the, you know, maybe not the birth that you were hoping for. That's going to be, you know, memory. It's going to be experience, a lived experience. But on top of that, if the breastfeeding journey is cut, is knocked, you know, for six within moments, if it basically becomes the birth that you didn't want, and the breastfeeding journey's cut short, or not even really started, well, that's a whole lot of emotion to process, and at a time when, you know, you're not really, you don't have the capacity really to deal with it. So it's probably something that immediately becomes something's buried and not really, you know, I think it's a trigger for people, and if you bring it up, a lot of people will probably regale a story or two of, yeah, didn't get what I wanted, didn't have the experience that I was hoping for. And I don't think the partners realize, you know, I don't think we yeah, and it's awful, isn't it, because you kind of want to be there for your partner, you know, you want to be that support. And I know our journeys were really overall positive, but there was moments where, you know, it could have been a medical professional that just wasn't given the support. And especially with your first child, you don't have the confidence, you know. I think the partner can be that support and, you know, rock for a better word, because your partner's going through a very emotional time without, you know, with much greater chance of their confidence being knocked, and, you know, mommy guilt and not feeling like you're doing the right thing, or not giving your baby what that you think it needs, or what other people are telling you it needs. You know, that's gonna, where you think you could have the strongest partner in everyday situations, but put them in a situation around post-birth and breastfeeding, they could be, the confidence could be completely gone. Nothing there.
And that can continue then to affect both members of the partnership for a long time. Maybe, like you say, at the time, you probably don't have the capacity to really deal with it, but later on, those things can come out as, you know, different, that in different ways. You know, it could be blame on one side, or it could be a, you know, a feeling of guilt or a feeling of failure. And that's really hard to deal with then if you're a couple dealing with that together. You know, it could be quite damaging.
Yes, it's conflict unintentionally. You know, you think you're doing the right thing, and you think that you're given the support because it's a very logical, you know, and unfortunately quite common, because of course whenever you have a baby, everyone has their own suggestions, and you'll hear advice from everybody and their dog, but it's not, you know, it's not the advice that necessarily you should take and run with, because really what you should do is talk it through with your partner and be on the same page, so that when these things come up, because inevitably they will, breastfeeding, I think, is so much an afterthought. I think I suspect that if you ask a lot of people, hey, will you breastfeed? A lot of people will like the idea of it, and they'll most likely say, yeah, I'd like to. But have you considered what that actually means, how that actually plays out? And this kind of idea of the post-birth plan, getting on the same page as your partner and bit working out how you're going to deal with it, that's the journey. That's knowing how to work together to get that, to get the best outcomes. I think that's something that's not really talked about. And that, you know, everyone thinks, hey, birth, you know, giving birth is the hardest thing you can do. Yeah. But, you know, if you really want to breastfeed and you hit some hurdles, that's the one that may be on. That's where you might actually consider a failure, you know, because birth ultimately is successful. It's
yeah,
not
you
often.
Get the baby.
Yeah, the baby, the
no
baby's
matter
there
what,
most of the time.
Hopefully, most of the
but
time.
You're breastfeeding. That's not, you know, I think failure is a much higher chance. There's a much higher chance of failure with breastfeeding. But the, you know, worst case scenario with a birth, you know, in reality, when a baby's, you know, born, you know, it's handed to you, you know, and that you just have to go with it. But with breastfeeding, it's really up to you, if that makes sense. You know, the medical professionals will have a part to play, and they'll obviously see in the same way as maybe intervention for birth or cesarean, whatever that might look like. That's their way of making it happen and getting it done as safely as possible. But breastfeeding, it's a kind of a, well, yeah, there's your opportunity to breastfeed, and there's the alternative. And the alternative will be offered much sooner than I think a lot of people will expect. And you need to be prepared for that, I think. And that's a lot what a lot of people
like you say, there's a window there as well.
Yeah, there is.
So in terms of then bonding, if that's the thing that, you know, the dads are worried about, what kind of things would you suggest they do to bond with the baby?
In my experience, I did a lot of the baths, and that was my chance to bond. Feeding your baby, I think it's a preconception that that's the ultimate bonding, you know, and it's probably something that has just built up over time. People have this concept of, I was up feeding the baby, and you think that that's bonding, and of course it is, you know, it is bonding. The mum is in the best place to bond over feeding, because that's, if they choose, that's what they're, you know, they could be doing. They could be looking at breastfeeding as the functional, the bonding. It's kind of all just wrapped up as one thing. But for the dad, you know, the baby's not feeding all the time. So what about the rest of the time? And I think if you consider all the other things around about baby, could be your, a lot of those things could be dad's responsibility. It could be baths, it could be changes.
Skin to skin, like you.
Yeah. I was lucky enough
to get immediately that time. After two of our kids were born, you know, ended up having a long period of skin to skin, albeit because maybe the birth wasn't as straightforward as we hoped.
Yeah.
However,
so I jumped in there, got that bonding.
You were given that
from birth, really.
You were
didn't
given
I?
Those moments, and you know, that's something you loved, and right through, you know, having that skin to skin, and in the slings you would have worn each of our children, and always took every opportunity to hold and cuddle. And were you, I don't know, maybe you did feel as though you were hard done by not.
No, I don't think so. I think I already had understood that, you know, I'd tried to break the psyche that, you know, this concept that feeding was bonding. It's a very, you know, it's because it's such, I think there's just this preconception about feeding a baby. People see it as the only thing you can do, but that's not really true. And I suppose when you look at it very clinically, you know, what does a baby do? It feeds, it sleeps. The participatory aspect of a baby, well, what did you do with your baby? You know, the go-to is, yeah, you know, I fed it. But of course you could just lie with your baby, you could get that skin to skin, you know, you could take turns on having that contact. So it's kind of like a tag team, you know, mom does feeding and dad does whatever else is left to do potentially. I think if both are of more value is attached to those other things that dads can do, then they're going to see that as, yeah, I played my part. But I think And this perhaps is just this idea that others have of the role, that if, you know, well, have you fed it yet? And it's this idea of everyone else's perception and feeds into the narrative that you should bond over feeding. And unfortunately, just like everyone has their advice to give, it's okay to ignore a lot of that. You know, it doesn't make it good advice. We perpetuate these concepts, you know, especially in Northern Ireland, where all it takes is one or two people to throw in their idea and someone to say, well, they've done it. Well, why would I not listen to them? But that might not be aligned with you and your partner. And deep down, you might think, I'm okay to ignore that. Mm-hmm. We can do our own thing. We don't have to work. You know, we don't have to run the same way that our parents, grannies, you know, whoever it might be, could be sisters, brothers, even.
And it comes back to, you know, those conversations pre-birth and the partner seeing and hearing in every sense of the word that their partner wants to breastfeed, that they really understand that it's more than just feeding. And it's this ingrained want and desire, and you know, for having those conversations and then that carrying through, like you've said. Surprisingly, one of our biggest, my biggest, like, supporters or understanding persons of breastfeeding was your grandpa.
Yeah, you know, my papa, quite conservative man, and wouldn't have been the obvious supporter of it, you know. But then, you know, you don't. I think this is the problem. You know, breastfeeding isn't really talked about. The notion of it maybe is circulated a little bit. There's probably a lot more negative talked about than around breastfeeding, in a similar way that
it's
there's
also
a lot
not
of
a
negative.
New concept. But also,
well, this is the odd thing about it, isn't it?
A lot of older people don't know any different.
No,
or they were sort of parents just before it became a bit strange, or you know, a bit different. Mm-hmm. It's odd to think about.
Exactly.
And you'd said like the Queen broke tradition and breastfeed her children, and you're thinking, broke tradition, what? But you know, okay, certain classes, certain, you know, certain scenarios, breastfeeding might not have been a lot of reasons why it's not possible
choice,
well, naturally, you know, it's just sort of, it is the natural choice, of course, but yeah, circumstances may not always play out. And you know, it wasn't that long ago that wet nurses existed and breastfeeding was more of a function than a role that a mother may have always played. But yeah, it's this idea that the natural link between wanting to breastfeed and being allowed to breastfeed has been broken. And it's built up way beyond the concept of birth. You know, everyone's kind of encouraging towards the birth. You would like to maybe empower you to get through it, and you know, there's still a little bit of baggage around. You'd hear of people negative birth experiences, but they're I think they're contained. You know, birth experiences are a moment in time. They can have obviously big emotional impact, but unfortunately, I think the trend is that you might have had a negative birth experience, and it's quite common to then have a negative breastfeeding journey as well off the back of that. So I think the support that people think they're giving needs to be adjusted to align with what the mom really wants. And that's not necessarily talked about. Breastfeeding, don't think, is talked about. And it's only just recently that breastfeeding's being normalized in public. So
trying to be normalized.
And people still have a problem with it, but yet in other aspects of life, the biology, you know, the human form is much more acceptable, you know, than it once was. But yet if you're breastfeeding your child, it's horrific. You know, why would you? Why? How would you do? How dare you do that in public? Yeah, it's that idea that as a society, we're starting to be more accepting of sexuality, of you know, other types of love, but yet breastfeeding is still one of these outliers that people can't deal with. You know, it's really bizarre. But going back to my papa, he saw it as a good thing, and you know, he wasn't ashamed of it. He saw it for what it was. I think that's what people need to do: get past their own prejudices towards these things, and just understand that it's one of the most natural things, and there's nothing really to be ashamed of, it's a shame that some things can get this stigma attached to it, and it all feeds back into the you breastfeed in isolation, and that's really difficult because you want breastfeeding to just be a natural thing that has to occur in a way that best works for you and as a new mom and potentially couple.
More importantly, that your partner is on board with, and you know, as a couple, you're both adjusting to being parents, and all of a sudden, you know, the non-birthing parent is having to find their voice to protect the, you know, the mum and the baby, and that's tricky as well. Being confident with it and not being afraid, you know, being confident in your partner's desire to breastfeed, and that's great, and you're going to go out of your way to champion and ensure that they get what they need to achieve what they want their breastfeeding journey to look like.
Yeah, and like you say, there's so much of it. There's a big shift needed in society to say, look, this is normal. This is something that people are doing all day, every day, for often numbers of years. And it's really something that we should all be proud about, that we are able to do it and that we want to do it.
The more that people that buy into, that get behind breastfeeding, becomes normalized, then all of these things start to fall a little bit easier in place. You know, so is it the mum's desire to breastfeed and everyone else just, you know, allows them their moment, you know, as much, and then says, sure, you've done enough. Sure, what difference does it make now? They've had whatever. But, you know, that the problem with that is that it plays down breastfeeding to the point that it's just a novelty that wears off and you should be okay with that. And that then plays out with this idea of you just end up breastfeeding becomes just a side thing that doesn't really need to be there. So plays down the want to do it. Society doesn't really care to facilitate it. So yeah, so it's kind of it's a spiral, you know. You'll end up kind of coming back around to the start again, where why would you even bother? You know, no one's really there to support me. Why would I bother? So I think that's kind of our downfall, that if we don't have the support, ultimately it would take a lot of very strong minded women to keep it going. And I think that's not fair. You know, it needs to be accepted.
Team effort.
Yeah, but it needs to be an accepted thing that you're allowed 9 months of pregnancy. Why can't you be allowed some time to breastfeed? You know, the 9 months of pregnancy occurs whether you like it or not. And everyone kind of plays along with that. But the breastfeeding bit, yeah, a lot of people just don't see the importance of it. And I think emotionally, you know, there's all the arguments for why you should breastfeed, but the emotional factor for the mum, I think, is the big one, because the regret that not following through, not pushing through to achieve, at least to try to achieve what you wanted to, what you hoped to do, is something that you may not really get over, I suppose.
So if an expectant dad comes to you and says, what do you do? Because I hear she wants to do it and I want to support her. What would your advice be?
I think, as we said before, if the conversation started as early as possible with during pregnancy, and then you've got those, you're on the same page, and then you can be there to support them throughout. So it's as much what your partner is hoping for, what they're really wanting to do, wanting to achieve, and you'll give them the support. And you can, I suppose, it's as much being there, being a constant support, with giving them the same, singing the same tune each time. Because the problem, and if I went back and probably talked to myself and said, hey, there was those difficult times where you thought you were doing the right thing to offer up alternatives. If you've discussed those early on, ideally before the birth, you're not going to fall foul of what are you suggesting that for? You're kind of already on the same page, so you can just reinforce. And I know a lot of these conversations don't come until after, until the issues start to occur, until the support's really needed. And most of the time, I think, from what I have seen and heard you talk about, Kate, is that often people have left it too late, and the support they try and give is the window for that amount, for that, the needed support is so small, especially with medical professionals giving their own narrative, that you need to muster up this magic wand to make it all okay. And that, under the circumstances, is a lot to ask for. So it needs to be a consistent approach from as early as possible, so that you don't get that tiny window that's likely to end up in defeat. Because as a partner, you can't magic it all better at that last minute, that 11th hour. So you need to be there from the start, and it needs to be consistent throughout. So the 11th hour is not always the time to recover and to get back on track. So it's very much a journey, and the journey doesn't start at the moment where your partner's about to give up. So that's the key.
What would you say to someone that asked you what's the benefit of having your partner or your wife breastfeeding?
There's sort of practical ones, financial ones as well, of course. The idea of orchestration of bottles and formula and the cost of all of that. So that's a factor you can't ignore. Of course, there's the journey that your partner takes with breastfeeding won't be smooth. So the benefits are, they may come out in the end, but you might see your partner struggle, and you might say to yourself, is it really worth it? And then in the end, you realize it was. So it may not, the journey can be a little bit rocky. It can be a little bit rough. But I think the benefit is being there and giving your partner that, given that opportunity to carry out what they really want to do. And that emotionally, the benefit emotionally, I think, is a major factor, because of course there's all the medical reasons why you should breastfeed, all the help that gives the mom biologically. But just looking at the emotional side of things, if you think about it this way, all the challenges that birth and a new baby bring, if you throw in early failure to get the outcome of breastfeeding into the mix, that's when things can get near on impossible to manage. So
partner to achieve what they desire, or at least to support them to get to where they want to be, then that could and would be a game changer.
Well, this is all you can do is be there to support and to be on the same page and to give, and the resources that we know about now that not many people do know about. And that's the difficulty, I think, with a lot of the a lot of the support, like mother and baby groups, they kind of have an ulterior motive, and not always people would immediately go. You know, you've got the kind of baby way and stuff going on, and that can be a barrier to people wanting to go out and meet people. So the breastfeeding specific support at their peers, that's a big one. You know, I think that's because as a partner, you don't have all the answers. You haven't lived the breastfeeding journey, so you can't relate in the same way as a peer would. So I think it could even be facilitating your partner attending, participating, helping find these types of support. So it is maybe as simple as a quick Google and, hey, find something, you should maybe check it out. Who knows? You know, it is definitely something that there's a lot more you can do than just pop a bottle in their mouth, I suppose.
You've been listening to NCTNI Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiefer. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the Public Health Agency, NI. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website.